And will you join with me now as we say together the opening prayer? Undaunted, you seek the lost, O God. Exultant, you bring home the found. Touch our hearts with grateful wonder at the tenderness of your forbearing love. Grant us delight in the mercy that has found us, and bring us all to rejoice at the feast of forgiveness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And we continue to pray, saying, Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Because of a scheduling conflict, Rachel could not be with us this morning, so I will serve as the liturgist and invite you to listen and attend to the word of the Lord as it comes first from Paul's first letter to Timothy. I'm grateful in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the gospel reading for today from the gospel according to St. Luke, among our most treasured parables. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In case you had thought that parables were a thing of the past, I am here to tell you that they have simply switched mediums. Now, I know that the English dialecticians and grammarians among us will say, no, not mediums, but media. I know that's the proper Latin plural, but nobody reads their Latin anymore, and so we have to go with mediums. Just, you know, go that way. Well, where once parables were the exclusive province of prophets and preachers, they have now gone to television and social media. If you've watched any televised sporting event in the past month or so, you have probably seen the following commercial. The scene opens in rainy, mountainous ranch country, and the narrator says dramatically, "A man." Cut to stereotypically rugged American individual with 2 days beard growth, leather duster, and cowboy hat. "A man and his truck," continues the narrator. Cut to brand new pickup truck climbing a steep grade on wet, winding roads. The man's eyes cast about. Clearly, he's looking for something. And a broken fence. Cut to cowboy repairing a broken barbed wire fence. And a lost calf. Cut to awe-inducing shot of wet little calf, clearly lost, stuck in a ditch. "And the heart to search," continues the narrator. Dramatic pause while the truck crosses a washed-out road. The cowboy with his flashlight clearly looking for the little lost calf. And the truck that takes as long as it must for him to search for the little lost calf. Cut to cowboy cradling the precious little calf in his arms, carrying it to the idling truck, the all-new Chevy Silverado. Now, friends, if I were Chevrolet, I'd think long and hard about paying for this commercial advertisement. I mean, at a fraction of the cost, you could have hired the kids from any fourth grade Sunday school class to do that work, because that storyline is straight out of Luke 15. The only thing the marketers did was add some rain, they switched out the sheep for a calf, and they added in the pickup truck. How hard can this be? In the parable of the woman and lost coin, on Facebook, last week, a female friend of mine posted the following: "I have made a concerted effort today to clean out places where I might have mislaid my car keys. In particular, I cleaned out my side of our walk-in closet. I swept up lots of dog hair, various bits of paper, and other debris, and found about $1 in change, but no car key on its digital fob. Last I checked," the woman wrote, "it will cost about $100 to replace it." Well, change out car key for coin, and you've got the same parable 2,000 years later. We post parables to Facebook, and we use parables to sell pickup trucks because they tell us something true, whether it's the first or the 21st century. Parables tell us something true about ourselves and something true about God. In this case, Jesus was on the receiving end of some sharp criticism from a group of people like me, religious leaders, who were criticizing Jesus about the people he hung out with. You know, you're known by the company you keep, and Jesus was welcoming sinners and sharing a table with them. What sort of a savior is that? Religious people wanted to know. How can God's people be holy and righteous and morally pure if God's people are going to include people like that? And so Jesus told them a parable. "Which one of you," he said, "cut to stereotypically rugged Palestinian individual with 2 years beard growth, leather sandals, and shepherd hat, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, cut to awe-inducing shot of young sheep stuck in a ditch, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, cut to shot of large flock currently unsupervised, and go after the one that is lost," dramatic pause while the shepherd climbs over massive rocks and fords surging, swirling streams, casting his lantern over the rain-drenched terrain until he finds it. And when he has found it, cut to shepherd gently lifting the little lamb out of the ditch. He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, cut to shepherd smiling broadly, gently laying the lamb on his shoulders. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, for the sheep I have lost is now found." Cut to shot of big welcome home sheep party. "Which of you," Jesus asks, "would go to such lengths to search and find and then welcome home and celebrate?" Truth be told, David Lowe says, none of us would. If you remember, last week Jesus told us all to count the cost. Count the cost of following him. And so today we have to ask, well, what's the cost of expending a whole bunch of time and energy mounting a search and rescue mission for one lost sheep? One out of 100, by most measures, 99 out of 100 is pretty good. It's an A+ in school, well above average, near perfect. And what makes this darn sheep so special? I mean, does he give a higher quality of wool? Does she produce a larger litter of lambs? Is this the children's favorite? By all accounts, this sheep is no different from the others, save that it is lost. So if the search doesn't depend on the quality or character of the sheep, the search must depend on the quality or character of the shepherd, the one who owns the sheep. Jesus tells us that a good shepherd calls his own sheep by name. So this shepherd would take a look around and notice that it was not simply number 53 that was missing, but Harold or Rose or Frank or Mary Lou. As a good shepherd, the owner leads them out to feed. Sometimes the shepherd makes the sheep lie down in green pastures and leads them beside the still waters, but other times the shepherd must take the sheep through Death Valley. Yet even there the sheep need fear no evil, for Jesus walked the entire length and breadth of that valley and came out victorious on its other side. Jesus did that because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what any shepherd worth his salt would do, Jesus says. Go after that one lost sheep, searching high and low, climbing hill and dale, calling it by name, staying out till all hours in the worst of conditions until he finds that sheep and gathers it in his arms and brings it home. And then they have a party for it. Now, some people might argue that that is inappropriate owner behavior. Why, after all, endanger 99 sheep in order to find one lost lamb? Why put at risk the vast majority of the flock to save a minority of one? The board of directors at Woolworth and Lamb would pitch a fit. The stockholders would stage an open rebellion. The executive committee would entertain buyout offers and search for a new ownership team. How are we to assess the search by a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness? Asked Fred Craddock. Either the shepherd is foolish, or the shepherd loves the lost sheep and will risk everything, including his own life, until he finds it. But that's just it. The shepherd does love the sheep, each sheep, and will stop at nothing to find even one who is lost. The same is true of a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one of them. Those coins are valuable. Now, maybe their value is sentimental. Maybe she received them as part of her dowry. Maybe they were the gift of a now deceased loved one. Or maybe their value is actually monetary, each coin being worth a day's wage, and the collection would then amount to perhaps her whole life's savings. Since women did not work outside the home, could not earn an income, then those 10 coins were worth a small fortune. And then one of them goes missing. So she lights a lamp, the better to see the silver's reflection. And she moves the furniture and she sweeps the entire house, looking everywhere she can think to look for it until she finds it. And when she does, she invites the whole neighborhood over to celebrate finding the lost coin. Well, maybe that's inappropriate owner behavior too. Think about it. Who's crazy enough or insensitive enough or egotistical enough to call over the neighbors from their workplaces or while the neighbors are at dinner or while they're on the sofa enjoying the game for a party celebrating the fact that she has found one measly drachma? Who gets out the good dishes and the cut glass tumblers and the napkin rings that she got at her wedding for just one little coin? Who gets her girlfriends together for a celebration only to spend more money feeding and entertaining them than what she found was worth? Who does that? God, apparently. Because folks get lost. The youth looking to fit in, who falls into the wrong crowd, gets lost. The student willing to cheat to get into the right college or graduate program gets lost. Singles sacrificing themselves while looking for a life partner get lost. People confused about their identity, be it sexual or political or religious, get lost. Career folks who make advancement at any cost to health or marriage or family get lost. The retirees with a great pension plan but no sense of life's meaning in retirement get lost. People get lost through years of hatred or misunderstanding. Countries can be lost to violence and war. Even folks who show up for church and do the right thing can become just as lost as a sheep or a coin. But God will search high and low. God will move all the furniture and sweep the entire house, stopping at nothing until what is lost is found. And then God shakes the heavens for sheer joy at its finding.